Now, millions of people a year are dealing with some level of hearing loss, but a lot of folks who might benefit from hearing aids don't have them. That might change some, however, as the switch in policy now allows people to purchase hearing aids over the counter. No prescription, no doctor's appointment. You'll be able to walk into your local store and buy one. But a little research can go a long way in making the right choice. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you use a hearing aid or is it someone close to you? If so, was it a difficult process to get one? Are you excited about maybe more accessibility here? If you're interested in getting some kind of hearing aid, does getting one over the counter better motivate you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Barbara Kelly is Executive Director of the Hearing Loss Association of America. Barbara, welcome to Central Time.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
And Dr. Nicholas Reed is an assistant professor at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, specializing in the epidemiology of aging, including hearing loss and hearing in the healthcare system. Dr. Reed, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Barbara, let's start with you. How big a difference is this change from prescription only to available over-the-counter for hearing devices?
This is really big and important because this is another avenue to care. I mean, we still have the traditional model of care where people go to an audiologist or a hearing instrument specialist, but it's important to know that this pathway to getting a hearing aid is for adults only with self-perceived mild to moderate hearing loss.
Right. Why is that an important distinction to make? Who does that leave out?
Well, you know, sometimes people with mild to moderate hearing loss aren't really motivated to take that step to hearing aids. We know that sometimes when people find out they have a hearing loss, it often takes 5 to 7 years before they actually get hearing aids. And if this would motivate people to take that first step sooner rather than later, that's really good because hearing health is so important to overall health. And, you know, sometimes people with a mild loss don't necessarily want to wear hearing aids 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, but they might need some situational hearing, maybe around the conference table at work or a leisure activity or maybe in a restaurant. So this just creates another avenue to care, another consumer choice that might motivate people to try a hearing aid because they're more accessible, and we hope that they'll be more affordable.
And before we bring Dr. Reed in, I want to talk about that affordability. I'm seeing numbers going anywhere from $200 to $3,000 under the current system. Things like Medicare don't cover a huge amount of the cost of hearing aids. Do you think there's more that needs to be done when it comes to affordability?
Yes. Medicare does not cover the cost of hearing aids. Statutorily, when the law was signed into made a bill in 1965, it specifically excluded hearing aids. And I think, you know, back then, they just didn't know about how important it was to treat hearing health. You know, it was something older people had. And insurance typically doesn't cover hearing aids. Some Medicare Advantage plans do, but everybody doesn't have that, and those vary. So the affordability aspect is important. But it's important to remember that with a prescription hearing aid, now this is not over the counter, the cost of the device is about one-third of the cost, and the rest are the bundled-in services for fitting, testing, cleaning, adjustments. And that's important, too, for somebody with a more severe hearing loss or somebody who needs that type of assistant. But the over-the-counter model should be more affordable. Now, we're seeing price points, as of yesterday, anywhere from $200 up to $3,000. I don't know if Dr. Reed expected them to be that expensive, but I would say, and this is a guess, that what we see in the market today might not be how the market's going to shake out in a year or two. I mean, I think there's going to be innovation. That's what we hope for. An electronics company getting into this market and making these devices more affordable for people.
Now, Dr. Reed, let's talk about diagnosis. There's a lot of hearing loss in my family. I assume my day will come before too long. And often it takes a while. It's gradual. You don't realize overnight you have hearing loss for a lot of people. Can you talk about diagnosing it in the first place?
Yeah, that's a great question. Hearing loss does occur slow and insidious, you know, across the lifespan. So it takes years to set in, right? And it takes years to notice. And our brains do a really good job of noticing when there's a sudden change, but our brains are also great at ignoring, you know, the quotidian daily things, right? And because hearing loss sets in so slow, it's not, you know, something that we pick up on right away. We also tend to sort of attribute hearing loss to something else. You know, most people sort of fundamentally think of hearing loss as a volume issue, but it's really a volume issue only at a few specific frequencies. And so it ends up being a clarity issue. So when people say it sounds like others are mumbling, you know, that makes a lot of sense because you're hearing some sounds, but not others, which makes it sort of hard to pick up that you might have hearing loss. As far as getting a diagnosis, you know, right now the gold standard diagnosis is obviously seeing an audiologist, and they will run a full comprehensive test on you. I think it's also sort of important that concurrent to OTC hearing aids dropping, you know, we are seeing a few companies out there, particularly on the Apple iOS systems, that can do a screening via a smartphone that's pretty accurate. So we are starting to see some technologic innovations there that I think might allow people to sort of not necessarily diagnose, but screen for, you know, getting a good idea of where their hearing might stand.
I want to talk, Dr. Reed, to a specific audience here, people who might be aware of some hearing loss, but maybe it's not such a big deal. They don't want to go through your diagnosis and fitting and things like that. Well, now here's over the counter and they're thinking, okay, yeah, maybe. Where do they start? What questions should they be asking about the kind of thing they're going to end up buying?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that is the group that's probably most excited about this, right? They've thought about it. They recognize they may have some hearing loss and they just, you know, they haven't, for whatever reason, engaged with the current system, the current model. You know, when you're starting out, I think it's a good thing to remember that, you know, devices and professionals are not the same thing. A great thing about this bill is that it does sort of separate the device from the professional, and you can still see a professional right off the bat. So if you're having any doubts and you would like, you know, some help exploring this system, there's nothing wrong with starting that way and just doing a session with somebody to get an idea of what you could benefit from, where your hearing stands, what device options are out there. You know, if you do want to go it yourself, I do think it's a good idea to look for things like devices that are integrated with a smartphone so they can be customized. You know, the OTC hearing regs from the FDA didn't spell out, you know, that OTC devices have to be self-fitting, but they did leave a self-fitting category and label. And I think it's really important that you look for devices that do meet that self-fitting category and label, because those devices actually had to prove that somebody, a layperson, can grab that device and use it about as well, or at least no worse than really an audiologist or another professional. So that's a great thing to look for. Other thing, maybe when you're starting out in your research, look for trial periods. You know, now that we've separated the device from the professional, we sort of are in a Wild West category of trial periods and warranties that used to be mandated along with licensure for professionals. You know, it's great to see companies that back their product and give you some time to get used to devices.
We are talking about over-the-counter OTC hearing aids. They exist now, this week, after a change from the FDA. We're talking with Barbara Kelly, Executive Director of the Hearing Loss Association of America, and Dr. Nicholas Reed from the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question? Have you started to dig into what's on the market? Are you baffled by what's on the market? Do you have questions about hearing loss and hearing correction devices, hearing aids? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Hey, by the way, if you go to WPR.org/Central Time, we've got a link to a resource, actually a bunch of resources from the Hearing Loss Association of America that can help you hopefully figure things out if you need to. Find that at WPR.org/Central Time. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our conversation about hearing aids. As of this week, they're available without a prescription. Barbara Kelly is with us, Executive Director of the Hearing Loss Association of America, and Dr. Nicholas Reed, Assistant Professor at Johns Hopkins University's School of Medicine. You can join in with your reactions, your questions at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Bill joins us now in Eau Claire. Bill, hi.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. They changed my life. I'm not familiar with, well, the over-the-counter, but we went for years needing them, but thinking, my God, I can't afford $5,000. Well, we found a, I don't know if I can mention the store or not, but
sure.
We found a place. Oh, I can mention it?
Sure, why not?
So we went to, we're in Eau Claire, we went to Costco, and I've got top of, I'm talking to you through my hearing aids right now. It's amazing. And I get phone calls, and I can self-adjust, and they changed my life, and it was $1,400, not $5,000. So I'm really glad that they're doing this, because for years, it saved my marriage, because everybody gets tired of saying what. So thank you so much, and I'll just had a comment.
So Bill, thank you so much for sharing that. And Barbara, Bill laughed when he said it, but he said it saved his marriage. This isn't just about hearing, right? People feel isolation. This can be a point of conflict in families.
It sure is. I mean, the way we communicate, the way we relate to people is through sound and is through conversation. And people, when it becomes hard to understand and hear, they start to withdraw. They don't want to go out because it's too exhausting and they're not going to be able to hear. And, you know, the miscommunications and the bluffing. And so people do isolate. And we saw through COVID that isolation leads to loneliness, and loneliness is now a health issue. So that really is, one of the comorbidities of hearing loss and the anxiety around that. And, you know, your caller mentioned he went to Costco and got these hearing aids that saved his marriage. And I just want to note to the callers that he used the traditional prescription model. That would not have been an over-the-counter model that we're talking about. That's the other path to care. So I just want to make that clear. And with that model, he would have received services of a hearing instrument specialist. That's great to hear. We know hearing aids work. And I think Dr. Reed made the great example that it does take time to get used to a hearing aid, whether it's an over-the-counter or whether it's a prescription device, because your brain has to adapt. And all of a sudden you're getting, you know, bombarded with all this amplification. So people should really look for those trial periods and the return policies on the box. Dr. Reed also mentioned a smartphone. That's important to look. Will you need something else? And while most of us are perfectly comfortable fiddling with apps and using smartphones, maybe if you're a senior, you're not, or maybe you don't have a smartphone. So that would be an important thing to note when you're buying an over-the-counter product.
Bill, thanks for the call. Go to another Bill, Bill in Ashland. Bill, hi.
Hi, I look for Bill from Ashland.
Go ahead,
that's
Bill.
Me. Okay. I have to deal with the statement by the gentleman just before me about having a professional audiologist prescription for your device when you go into a realtor to buy over-the-counter hearing aid, such a device. It is a very, very, very serious thing. When you get people that are deaf, as I am, I have purchased hearing aids twice from an audiologist, and what the thing about it that's very, very vital to us people who cannot hear is when we ran into a problem, we got someone to go to. We can't walk into a Walmart and say, okay, listen, I can't hear today. What can you do for me? Well, you know as well as anybody does that you're going to just either going to have to wait, or we'll check on it, or we read the warranty. They ain't going to give you a new set of hearing aids without some kind of a instructions from it.
Bill, thanks a lot for calling in. Dr. Reed, Bill dealing with more severe hearing loss. Is Bill's, and I imagine other people, a case where, yeah, probably you want to work with an audiologist?
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about the severity of loss, it's important to remember that OTC devices aren't necessarily, they will have cutoff points and they won't be designed for those with more severe hearing losses. It's that mild to moderate category. And even when you get into the higher moderate levels, you know, you may start to think about going to the prescription category just based off of pure audibility amplification issues. The other thing, to Bill's point, is that the professional can provide, you know, some wonderful insights here. And I think it's important that we remember, you know, we use this language over the counter. And, you know, in our minds, that means that they're separate and there's no way they're together. But the truth is, they can still coexist, and you can still see a professional with an OTC hearing aid. You know, part of the backing of why OTC is so important is because we ended up with a care model where only a few companies, five companies literally, dominate the entire marketplace. And it was hard for new companies to get involved because there were no pathways. They had to go through audiologists to then sell to consumers. Now we've opened that up. So new companies can get involved. We can see new technologies on the market. We can see different options in technology on the market. We can see changes in affordability and accessibility via market competition. The audiologists and the professionals can still exist in that model, and you can see both. So, you know, I think it's like when you're thinking about this, it's always important to just keep that in the back of your mind that just because you buy a hearing aid one way does not exclude a professional from being involved with you.
Bill, thanks a lot for sharing your experience. We're talking about over-the-counter hearing aids. They exist now. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your experiences or questions. We've got Dr. Nicholas Reed from Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, Barbara Kelly with the Hearing Loss Association of America. And back to your calls now. Richard is with us in Two Rivers. Richard, hi.
Hey, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have several questions. If I wanted to have specific functions that are Bluetooth to my phone or whatever, or to do away with high-pitched noises like dogs barking or stuff like that, is there a way to do that? And I'm just kidding, but if there's a way to block the wife out, there's a way to do that.
We don't want this to hinder your marriage, Richard, but thanks for the call. Barbara, can you talk about what kind of features, what kind of options are on the table now?
That's a really great question. That's a very common question. And I want to pitch that to Dr. Reed too, because I mean, the market just opened yesterday and the FDA doesn't mandate that these devices have Bluetooth streaming or telecoils, but this is where, you know, we hope to see innovation. And I think Richard, the caller, probably does have the hearing aids that have that. But Dr. Reed, what can you talk to the models that are on the market now as far as streaming and connectivity?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, Barbara, it's weird to hear you call me Dr. Reed. We've known each other long. I'm just like, who is this person? No, Richard's question is phenomenal. You know, there's a lot of technology options out there. And the top of the line hearing aid models that we're used to, these prescription models, they have Bluetooth connectivity. They work with smartphones. They work with lots of connected devices to help in different situations, like remote microphones that, you know, someone else could wear on their lapel, for example. And then if you're in a crowded restaurant, you know, you only hear that person you want to hear. The OTC market is just starting. But we already do see some companies putting out devices that do work through phones, and they have that Bluetooth connectivity. In fact, several of them are fit and programmed that way and customized that way. And we see devices focusing on different frequency ranges. So, you know, when you hear questions about, like, I don't want to hear, you know, dogs barking or something. Well, you know, the devices can manipulate sound to a certain extent. Some of them can. But at the same time, I would just say from this professional standpoint, you may want to also consider that we want to give you sound at a full spectrum too. So we don't want to eliminate sounds just because they're sort of a nuisance, right? We want your brain to get used to hearing them. But that being said, some of the devices can do that. What's cool about the OTC market actually is that hearing aids are not a one-size-fits-all thing. And I think by introducing new companies into this space, we're going to see some cool technologic innovations that go in both directions. You know, higher tech, really cool things, you know, smartphone connectivity. But also, Barbara made this amazing point in the beginning, you know, there's room for low-tech devices that just overcome a very specific situation for people who want something that's really affordable just to get them over the hill in that one specific situation, like a meeting at work or, you know, going to a specific restaurant. And there's room for all of this in the marketplace. And in the current model, it's a lot harder to have those options on the table because it all goes through the professional. So now we sort of see like a democratization of technologies.
Thanks again for that call. Barbara, we just have a couple minutes left. I mentioned earlier, we've got a link up at WPR.org/Central Time to your organization, the Hearing Loss Association of America, and a resource page about the various hearing devices. What kind of resources do you have up there that can help people make smart decisions?
At hearingloss.org/OTC, we have some tip sheets of who might be a candidate for an OTC or who might need to take that other path for prescription hearing aids. We have some signs to recognize who, you know, if you might have a hearing loss, and we have a shopping guide. And they're very simple, they're very straightforward, and we're going to keep developing these as the market develops.
And Dr. Reed, in just our last half a minute or so, what developments are you watching for? What are you hopeful for the future for people dealing with hearing loss?
Well, that's a great question. I'm hopeful, actually, for what I just sort of mentioned, that I do want to see some more low-tech options, actually, for, you know, just simple needs where someone doesn't have to break the bank just for one situation. So they get involved in hearing care a little bit earlier. I also am so excited to see what kind of shapes and sizes new companies come up with. You know, we've really been locked in some traditional designs, and I'm sort of excited to see, you know, hearing aids meet AirPods and what that looks like for consumers.
We'll leave it there. Dr. Reed, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Barbara, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Dr. Nicholas Reed, assistant professor at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, specializing in hearing loss and hearing in the healthcare system, and Barbara Kelly, executive director of the Hearing Loss Association of America. The news, it's happening this week. Hearing aids, many of them are available over the counter, i.e. without a prescription. Again, we've got a link at WPR.org/Central Time to Barbara's organization and their resource page for people trying to figure out what kind of hearing aid might be right for you. You can also share your experiences over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.